Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Tzadi Hey. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah toward the bottom of the page on Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. This show is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, La Shalom, the Neshama, Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for continuing to sponsor the Daf Yomi Shir. So what we're going to talk about today is, first, the Mishnah is going to talk about how we do the kibus or the shvira of a klicheres or the mariko shtifa of the klei nechoshes once it leaves the azara, and especially there's an additional problem if it leaves the azara and then becomes tameh, so we can't just bring it back into the azara. And we know that all of these things need to be done b'makom kadosh, meaning it needs to be done in the azara. So you're not allowed to bring tameh things into the azara. So how do we solve that dilemma? That is what the Mishnah is about. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, if you tear a beged in order to be metayer it, how can you still fulfill the kibbutz on it? Because that's going to be the suggestion of how to bring the beged back into the azara, that you tear the beged, or how to bring the kli back into the azara once it's tameh. You break the kli, but once you do that, it's not a beged, it's not a kli, and then l'chora you should not be able to fulfill the mitzvah of kibbutz, nor the mitzvah of mariko shtifa, nor the mitzvah of shvira. So how do we resolve that dilemma? Then the Gemara is going to talk about how we do kibbutz on specifically the me'il of the Kohen Gadol if it becomes tameh outside of the azara. The me'il of a Kohen Gadol is beged kadosh, so we can't just go around ripping it, meaning that's going to be the solution for other begadim that become tameh. But what do we do about the me'il of the Kohen Gadol? Then the Gemara is going to talk about how we can do kibbutz in the azara if the nature of kibbutz isn't just that you throw it in a washing machine and you put some detergent. Kibbutz is done with a very specific protocol and a very specific set of so-called detergents that they would use in order to clean off dam nida, and one of those detergents is meiraglayim. And we say every single day that we don't bring meiraglayim into the mikdash mipnei hakavod. So how do we even do the kibbutz in a makom kadosh? Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about which kelim require marika ushtifa. And the Gemara is going to discuss whether you need mariko shtifa if there was bishul in those kelim, but no blia into those kelim, or vice versa. What if you have blia without bishul? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about kashering ovens in general. And that will bring us all the way to the end of the daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah on daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, beged shiyasu chutz l'klayim. If you have a beged that had a splash of dam chatas on the beged, and therefore it requires kibbutz, but now it left the azara. So what do? No problem. Nichnas mechabes b'makom kadosh. Bring it back into the azara and be mechabes it in the azara, as you're supposed to do. It calls it makom kadosh, doesn't say azara or lefnim min haklayim, because the lashon of the Torah is makom kadosh. The Torah says, v'asher yizam idam el beged, asher yizal lea techabes b'makom kadosh. So the Mishnah is using the lashon of the pasuk over here, even though the lashon of the Torah luchud and the lashon of the Chachamim are luchud. Sometimes we just use the terminology of the Torah itself. So you mechabis it back in the azara. That's fine, but then nitma chutz l'koyim. What happens if the beged has dam that's dam chatas that splatters on it, and the beged leaves the azara, and then the beged becomes tameh while it's outside of the azara? Now I can't just bring it back into the azara. You're not allowed to bring tuma into the mikdash. So how are we going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of kibbutz? So a number of the achronim raised the obvious question: what do you mean? Just be metayer it outside of the azara, then bring it back in. Put it in a mikvah, you'll be metayer it, then bring it back in and do kibbutz. What's like the big problem? How are we going to get this beged back into the azara? It's tameh, be metayer it. So the Chazanish says, no, the way to be metayer a beged is by putting it in a mikvah. Putting it in a mikvah may not fulfill the mitzvah of kibbutz, but it begins the mitzvah of kibbutz. And you're not allowed to even begin the mitzvah of kibbutz outside of the azara. So it's true, you need the zayin sammanim, you need the seven special detergents in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibbutz, but the second you dip it in water, you have begun the kibbutz process. And even beginning the kibbutz process cannot be done outside of the azara. So how do I get this beged back into the azara? It's tameh. So there's another way to be metayer beged other than bringing it to the mikveh. And that is, and it's true of all kelim, that is if you break the kli, that there's a level of breakage that a kli can have, where when you break the kli, it loses its tumah status. So a beged is only mitame mekabel tumas maga when it has a shear of 3x3 etzbaos, and even if it was ready mekabel tumah, when it had a proper shear, if you were to tear it to pieces that are smaller than 3x3 etzbaos, those small pieces have become tahar. And even if it's not torn from one end to the other, it's only torn most of the way through, most of the length and most of the width of the beged. The beged is considered as if it's torn all the way through, and it becomes tahar mitumaso. So there you can tear. So says the Mishnah, simple solution: koro, the tear of the beged outside of the azara. Now it loses its tumah status, and then nichnas mechabso makom kadosh, and then bring it back into the azara and be mechabes the beged makom kadosh, and that lechora would solve the problem. Says the Mishnah, and what about a kli cheres sheyatzu chutz l'klam? What if you have a kli cheres that you cooked a basar chatos in the kli cheres, and the halacha is that now it requires shvira? You need to break the kli cheres, but the shvira has to be makom kadosh, and the kli cheres left the azara. So again, simple solution: nichnas v'shav makom kadosh, bring it back in and break it in the azara. Fine, but what if nitma chutz l'klam? What if that kli cheres became tameh when it was outside of the azara, and you're not allowed to bring tameh things into the azara? So how are you supposed to just bring it back into the azara? Oh, so nokvo v'nichnas v'shav makom kadosh. So what you do is you poke a hole in the kli cheres while it's outside of the azara. That will be mitahir the kli cheres, and then you can break it b'makom kadosh. The halacha is, as far as the size of a hole, there's a sugya in Shabbos on Daf Tzadihei. It's Tzadihei here and Tzadihei there. So sugya in Shabbos Daf Tzadihei that says that there are five levels of a type of hole that you need to make in order to be metahir a kli. That a tiniest the tiniest hole that one could make in a kli is the hole that would cause a leak if you had water in the kli. Kimotzi mashka. So such a hole would not be metahir any kli mitumaso. Meaning you have a tummy kli and you make a pinhole in it that there's just motzi mashka, that's not going to be metahir anything. But then there's another level two is kikones mashka. Then not only a hole large enough to leak mashka out, but a hole that's large enough that mashka can get in through that hole. If you were to put the kli into a mashka, the mashka would seep through and get into the kli. That's mitara kli cheres that's meant to be used for mashkim. Meaning, if a kli cheres is meant to be used for mashkim and it has a hole that's big enough that mashkim can get through in both directions, now you've been mitara that kli cheres, because that's an actual shvira. That is a breaking of the kli, and it's therefore mitara it. Then the level above that is shoresh katan, a hole the size of a small root of a plant. So that has a certain halachic ramifications, but not in the world of tumah and tahara. So that does nothing more for you in the world of tumah and tahara. Then another level is a neck of the size of a zayis. That's mitara kli cheres. Even if you have a neck of the size of an olive, it would be mitara kli cheres, even if that kli cheres was meant to hold food. Unless the bailim decided that he wants to use this kli cheres to hold pomegranates or apples. So then the neck of the size of a zayis doesn't ruin the kli at all, because pomegranates and apples aren't going to fall through the hole, and then it would still have the tumasat. And then you have neck of kerimon. That's mitara kli cheres no matter what. Even if you decide you're going to hold watermelons in it, if you make a neck of kerimon, that's automatically mitara kli cheres. So the Mishnah over here says, so you have this kli cheres, it requires shvira. No kvo, make a hole in the kli cheres. That will be mitara the kli cheres. Make sure the hole is the appropriate size, depending on what the kli cheres is. That will be mitara the kli cheres, and then you can bring it back in, and then you could break it. So says the Mishnah, third case, klei nechoshes. What if you have a klei nechoshes that you cooked basar chatas in, and the klei nechoshes requires mriko shtifa, sheyatzu chutz l'klam, but the mriko shtifa needs to be in the azara, and now the klei nechoshes is outside of the azara. What do you do? Simple, nichnas marko v'shotfa b'makom kadosh. So bring it back in and do the mriko shtifa. Yeah, but what if nitma chutz l'klam? What if it became tamei while it was outside of the azara, so you can't bring in a tame kli into the azara. So pochso, make a larger hole in it in order to be metaher the kli, and then v'nichlas markov shof b'makom kadosh. Then bring it back in and do the mriku shtifa b'makom kadosh. So now the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, maskav la ravina. We said about the beged that had the dam of the chatas that splattered on it and became tame outside of the azara. So what was the solution? You tear it so that it won't be tame anymore, and then you bring it back into the azara. Asks Ravina, Koro begedam rachman v'la begedhu. The Torah says that you're supposed to be mechabes a beged. If you tear it to pieces outside of the azara, then when you are being mechabes it, it's no longer a beged. So how does that accomplish anything to tear it while it's outside of the azara? The Sfasemis raises the kasha that it's muchach that lechor it's not muchach from the pasuk that at the time of the kibbutz it has to be called the beged. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. What the pasuk says is that va'asher yize midoma al habeged asher yiza aleha tchabes makom kadosh. So the shame beged was only when it describes that the dam chatas got on it. That when it got on it, it was dam chata. It was a beged. But it doesn't say that at the time of the kibbutz it needs to be a beged. So there's room to argue that once you had dam at the time that sprinkled on it while it was a beged, then the mitzvah of kibbutz will remain even if you tear the beged to pieces, and therefore this kasha doesn't seem like such a strong kasha, so the Sfas Emes deals with that. But for our purposes, the Gemara is asking the kasha that beged am rachmanu v'lav beged hu. How can the Mishnah suggest that the way to bring the beged back in order to do the kibbutz is by tearing it? You can't do that because if you tear it, you no longer have a mitzvah of kibbutz. The mitzvah of kibbutz only applies while it's still a beged. It's not a beged anymore. Says Gemara, maybe it is still a beged. The Mishayu be'kidei mafaros, meaning there's a way to thread that needle. There's a way to make it that it's no longer tame. It's broken enough to not be tame anymore, to lose its original tumah status, but it still has a shame beged. So how do you do that? You tear it, but not all the way through from one end to the other. You leave a little bit of an attachment, the size of a scarf that on one end that attaches it, and therefore it's still ra'oi to have the mitzvah of kibbutz, even though it loses its tumah status. So that's the suggestion. So frankly, Gemara Eini, is that really so? Is that possible that that's what the Mishnah is saying? V'amar Rav Huna, but didn't Rav Huna tell us about a beggar that's mostly ripped, that lo shanu, that we only say that a beggar that's mostly ripped, it's as if it's ripped entirely from a tumah v'tara perspective, and it becomes tahar, elo shelo shir ba kedei maforas, only if you don't leave a kedei maforas, but if you leave a kedei maforas, if you leave that amount of connection, so it doesn't become tahor in the first place. So you taina that we could thread the needle by tearing the beged just enough that it's going to lose the tumah, but yet it's still going to be called a beged, so we could still accomplish the mitzvah of kibbutz. No, if you tear it and you leave a kedei maforas, it's still going to be tameh. It's not going to lose the tumah status, right? Isn't that what Rav Huna taught us? So where did Rav Huna teach us this? It's a sugya in Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Dalid. Now, if you look up in Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Dalid, there's a Ni'ika Da'amri. There's a Lishna Achrina of what Rav Huna says, where Rav Huna says that even if you do leave a Kedei Ma'afaras that's untorn, it is Mitar the Beged, and the Rambam Paskin's like that Lishna Achrina of Rav Huna. So according to that Lishna Achrina of Rav Huna, there's no Kasha in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara's whole Kasha is leaving Kedei Ma'afaras doesn't solve the Tumah problem because it's still going to be tame according to Rav Huna. According to one version of Rav Huna. According to the other version of Rav Huna, it actually is mitairit. So the Mishnah Melech says, yeah, the Gemara wants to make our Mishnah fit with every version of Rav Huna, even the one that we don't paskin like. So answers the Gemara. Again, the Gemara's kasha is, how do you have a solution that you tear the beged and you leave a kedei maforas? And we said, oh, that's a great way to thread the needle because that's going to make the beged lose its tumah status, but it will still be a beged as far as kibbutz is concerned. Didn't Rav Huna tell us it will not lose its tumah status? And so Gemara midrabanan hu. When Rav Huna says it will not lose its tumah status, that only means on a drabanan level, meaning on a daraisa level, it does lose its tumah status, and therefore you're allowed to bring it back into the azara midah oraisa. But midrabanan Rav Huna was choshesh that if you're mitarah the beged, even when you leave a kedem aforas, the bailim are not going to even be korea rubo. They're not going to even be korea the majority of the beged. But mida raisa, as long as the majority of the beged is torn, meaning it's torn in the majority of the way through, that is enough to be mitarah. And this beged, where there's a mitzvah min haTorah to perform kibbutz, we're not going to start being makbid on the drabanan of not bringing it into the azara when it still has a tumah drabanan. Once it's nikra rubo and on a Torah level, it's tahar, we're gonna bring it into the azara. So the achorim ask if that's true, that the mitzvah of kibbutz is docha the iser of bringing a tumah drabanan into the mikdash. Why does the Mishnah require being menakev a kli cheres that became tameh? A kli cheres that becomes tameh, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Kuf Dalet tells us, is only asked to be machnes into the mikdash midrabanan. So, meaning the Mishnah's whole problem was, once a kli cheres is outside and it becomes tameh, what are we going to do? How are we going to bring it back in? So the Mishnah said, make a hole in it so that you'll be mitairi. Why do you even need to do that? There's no iser midaraisa to bring a kli cheres that becomes tameh into the azar. Just bring it back in. If we're not worried about the rabbanans when it comes to mitzvah daraisa, you have to do like a shviras kli cheres or like a kibbutz begadim or like a mariko shtifa. So the chemdas taniel answers that there's a difference. The chacham only were mat here to bring the chacham were not mat here to be machnis tumah mikdash unless it's the tumah itself were only a tumah midrabanan. Meaning by this beged, once you tear it most of the way, the tumah that it has, according to Rav Huna, is only a tumah midrabanan. That's where the chacham are going to say, okay, for that tumah midrabanan, we'll let you bring it into the mikdash to fulfill your mitzvah daraisa. A kli cheres that became tameh is tameh midaraisa. It's just that the isur to bring it into the azara is only midrabanan. So that rabbanan we're still going to be makpid about, especially if there's a way to fix it. And the way to fix it is by making a hole in it. And that brings us to the next shtickle. Kli cheres sheyatza. We said in the Mishnah that if a kli cheres went outside of the azara, became tameh outside of the azara, how do you bring it back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shvira? You make a nekev in it. You make a small hole in it. So ask the Gemara, once you make a small hole in it, how can you fulfill the mitzvah of shvira? The Torah says you're supposed to do shvira of a kli cheres. If you already made a hole in it, it's no longer a kli. So then you lost out on the mitzvah of shvira. So says Gemara, no, shenikev b'shorish katan. You make a hole in it that's the size of a shorish katan, and that's enough to be metairit from its tumah, and therefore you could bring it into the azara. But it's not really broken when it has a neck of the size of a shorish katan, and therefore you have the ability to still fulfill the mitzvah of shvira. That's Tosfos Girsa Shidduch Vetzes quotes the same Girsa in the name of Svarim Acherim. However, Tosfos says the shear that your metairit kli cheres mitumaso is not really the shear of a shorish katan. It's kekones mashkin, meaning if it's a kli cheres that's used for mashke, the proper shear is kones mashkin. So if it's and if it's a kli cheres that's used for ochlin, the proper shear should be kezayis. So the shorish katan doesn't do anything for you in the world of tumah v'tara. So that's Tosfos Kashin Dibra Maschalo, and Tosfos writes that we could say bedochak that since the kli cheres that we're talking about over here was meant for both ochlin and mashkin at the same time, because what would they use it for? They'd be mevasha lechatas with the rotav. So the rotav is a mashke, the chatas meat is an ochel, and therefore maybe there's a third shear, that when you have a kli that's miyuchad for mashke, so then kekonis mashkin. When you have a kli that's miyuchad for ochel, then it's bekezayis. But maybe if you have a kli that's miyuchad for both, the shear of to be metairit min haTorah is kesharish katan. That's the way Tosfos is miyashi. Very difficult why it says shorish katan. Tosfos also asks that the Mishnah says in the third paragraph of Maseches Kelim that to be mitire a kedera requires a shear kezayis, and Tosfos says a mina Torah the shear tara may even be a shorish katan. It's only midrabanan that we require a shear kezayis. So over here, once you poked a hole in it that's the size of a shorish katan and it becomes tahor mina Torah, so now the mitzvah of shvira mina Torah is going to override the drabanan of bringing in a kli that's only tamei midrabanan into the azar. Zara. So maybe that's where Shoresh Katan comes from. That maybe Shoresh Katan really is the shear on a Daraisa level. And when we say that, if it's a kli that's meant to handle solids and it needs a kazais, maybe that's only a din derabanan. So as soon as you make a hole that's a Shoresh Katan, on a Daraisa level, you'll have to bring it back into the Azara. And since you have a mitzvah of Shvira to do in the Azara on the Daraisa level, we allow you bringing this item in, even though on a derabanan level it's still Tameh. So then we said that a klina choshes that goes outside of the azara and gets becomes tameh outside of the azara. So what do? You poke a hole in that and to be mitirit, and then you bring it inside to do mriku shtifa. Sasigmara, same kasha. Kli amarachmanu v'alav klihu. But if you really made a hole in the klina choshes, it's not a kli anymore, and therefore you cannot fulfill mriku shtifa because you have to do mriku shtifa on a kli. The pasuk says v'im b'kli nechoshes b'sholo amaruk v'shu. Then Mariku Shtiv has to be done on a Kli. Maybe after you break the Kli Nechoshes, you take a hammer and you hammer out the Kli to a place that in a way that fills in the hole in the Kli that you just made, and therefore it becomes a Kli again, and now you could fulfill the mitzvah of Mariku Ushtifa properly, because now it's in fact a valid kli. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosos raises the kasha, though, if that's what it means, why didn't the Gemara say the same thing about a beged? Meaning, what did we say? Take the beged and tear it. So we said, oh, if you tear it, it's not a beged anymore. So we said, oh, you tear it in a particular way. No, just say tear it and put it back together. And then it's viter, a beged, when you put it back together. That's Tosos' kasha. Why do we need to be matir, right? This isser by the beged, especially, we said that we're being matir and isser drabanan of bringing it back in. You don't need to be matir and isser drabanan. Just be, just fix it. So elamai must be that once the beged is entirely torn and it's a mevatel l'shem beged, and the mitzvah of kibbutz is batel as well. So a tikkun is not going to be mechadish the mitzvah of kibbutz once the mitzvah of kibbutz goes away. So we hear also by the mitzvah of Mariku Shtifa should go away if you entirely break it, and fixing it shouldn't help. So therefore, Tosas has an entirely different interpretation of what the Gemara means when it says Duratzev Maratzev. Duratzev Maratzev doesn't mean you fix the Klimateches, the Klinechoshes, afterwards. It's explaining what the Mishnah means when it says Pochso. That Pochso doesn't mean you make a hole in the Kli, it means you're Meshana the Tzura of the Kli, and you make it in such a way that the inside of the Kli is now the outside of the Kli, and the outside of the Kli, you turn it inside out by hammering it out in the other direction, and that's going to be metarit mitumaso, but it will never lose the shame kli because you never broke it. You just changed it so thoroughly that it loses its old tuma status, but it's still actually a kli. Okay, so that is the series of questions on our Mishnah of how you can put a hole or tear a kli as a way of solving the tuma problem. After all, doesn't that take away the shame kli? So the answer to all three of them is you could do it in a way where it solves the tumah problem but doesn't take away the shame kli. I'm Reish Lakish Mi'il. The mi'il of the Kohen Gadol, if dam chata splatters on the mi'il and then it's brought outside of the azara, shenitma, and it becomes tameh outside of the azara, so we don't tear it up like we said by other begadim. Rather, machniso bepachos misholosh al sholosh mechabso. We bring it back into the azara less than 3x3 etzba'os at a time, and your mechabis less than 3x3 etzba'os at a time, and you take whatever part you were just mechabis, you bring back outside of the Azara, and you bring in another less than 3x3 etzba'os of the beged, and you machabes that, and then again, keep shifting it around, that you bring 3x3 etzba'os, less than 3x3 etzba'os at a time, until you manage to be machabes all of the dam. And that way, you're never machnis into the Azara, a shear of a beged tameh into the Azara. So Tosus points out in Dibra Maschal Machniso that by a beged, everyone agrees that we don't say bia b'miksa shma bia, meaning if you held bia b'miksa shma bia, then it would be a violation of bringing tumah into the mikdash, even if you bring a little edge of the beged into the azara. So apparently, that concept of bia b'mikdash shma bia doesn't apply to a beged. So that's an important ha'ara over here. So the reason that you don't tear the beged is mishum shenemar lo yikareya. Specifically, by the mi'il of the kohen gadol, the Torah says lo yikareya. So when it came to other begadim, even bigdei kodesh that had a sprinkle of a dam chatos on it, and it became tameh outside of the azara, the simple solution was tear it so that it loses the tumah status, then bring it back in and do the kibbutz. By the mi'il, it says beferish lo yikareya, so you don't have that possibility of tearing it, and therefore you bring it in pachos mishalosh al shalosh. So the achronim raised the question: well, if that's a solution, why don't we do that by other begadim as well? Why did the Mishnah say that if you have a beged chul that became tameh, you have to tear it? Such baltashkas, why would you tear it? Just bring it in. Pachos mishalosh, meaning once we have this eitzah by the me'il, and the eitzah works, so why don't we do this eitzah by every beged? So a number of the achronim suggest that the chomer choshesh, that maybe you'll make a mistake and you'll bring in more than shalosh al shalosh. So when it's less brera, you have no other option, you can't tear it, so then okay, we have to just be careful and bring in pachos mishalosh al shalosh at a time. But when there's another option, you have the ability to tear a beged, so then that's what you're supposed to do. The achronim also raise another question: why by a beged of chulin that became tamei, didn't we require that after you tear it to bring it in pachos mishalosh al shalosh? Because after all, by the beged, even after you tore it, we said it's still tamei midrabanan. So we said, okay, we'll override the isur drabanan of bringing that which is tamei midrabanan in order to accomplish this mitzvah of kibbutz. But apparently, there's a way to do it without violating the drabanan. Just bring it in, but so tear it, and that way you'll be safe that you will not violate a daraisa. And then bring it pachos mishalosh al shalosh, so that you won't even violate a drabanan, right? Why are we allowing a violation of a drabanan? So that the achronim suggests maybe that's also a violation midrabanan to bring it in pachos mishalosh al shalosh, so it doesn't really solve anything. Okay, so ask the Gemara, and Reish Lakish says you bring the Mi'il, Pachs Misholosh Al Sholosh at a time. Most of Rav Ada Barava, says, wait a second, is the shear of Tumah by a Mi'il, which is a very thick beged, because each of its strands were made of a twist of 12 different threads, so is the shear going to be Sholosh Al Sholosh at Boaz? It's a Beferish of Mishnah in the 28th parak of Meseches Kalim, that Ha'ovin Va'arakim Ein Be'mishim Sholosh Al Sholosh, that the shear of 3x3 etzbos, that that's a chash of a beged to be considered tameh because it's usable as a patch, is not true for particularly thick or particularly thin begadim. If you have a beged that's unusually thick or unusually thin, it's not a useful patch, and therefore shalosh al shalosh is not going to be the shear. It's not ra'ui for any tashmish at that level, because the shear of shalosh etzbos is obviously not a shear of levisha. You would never wear a beged that's only shalosh al shalosh etzbos. It's just meant to be a patch. But a very thick beged and a very thin beged are not going to be used as a patch. So even if you bring in more than shalosh al shalosh lechora, you're not violating anything. So says Gemara, agav avien chashivi. No, since this the beged is still intact, so you're just bringing in less than shalosh al shalosh at a time. So it's considered to be chashiv because it's part of a larger beged that itself has its own chashivas. So that's why Reish Lakish is saying to bring in less than shalosh al shalosh at a time. Now the Rambam writes that if someone is in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that if someone is soser even achas min ahechol min azara, he gets malchus, because it says that's mizbechosim titatum, and it says losasun kein Hashem Elokechem. You're supposed to destroy the mizbechos of avodah zara, but you're not supposed to do that to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So you're not allowed to destroy any part of the heichol of the azara. You get malchus for doing so. So Beis Yosef quotes a Mordechai that a Beis HaKnesses, which is called by the Gemara Megillah as a Mikdash Ma'at, you're likewise not allowed to destroy any Evan or anything on a Beis HaKnesses, and that's what the Ramah Paskins and Orachaim in Simin Kufn and Beis, you're not allowed to destroy a Beis HaKnesses unless it's Almanas Livnos. So says the Taz, what the Ramah means to say is that you are allowed to destroy Almanas Livnos, but that's only if you're going to rebuild that which you destroyed. But if you're going to make a hole in the Beis HaKnesses, you're going to take away a stone from the wall in the Beis HaKnesses, even if it's Litzorich the Beis HaKnesses, but you're not going to rebuild that which you destroyed, it's going to be Aser. And therefore he says he doesn't like the practice. Apparently they used to have that after they finished building the shul, so someone would claim themselves a Makom Kavua up against the wall, and they wanted a shtender. Shtenders in shul, everyone having their own, doing their own personal thing in shuls, was always a thing. So people would come in with a drill, they would drill holes in the wall and attach the shtender to the wall, and they would never fill, they would never, so he said, they're making a guma b'kosel, and it's going to stay there forever. That's a netitza asura. You're only allowed to destroy, the Rambam says, only if you're going to rebuild that which you destroyed. So the Eli Rabba disagrees with the Taz, and he says, no, even though you're leaving a hole in the wall, but it's letzorech, meaning it's not, you're not doing it for nothing, so that's not a violation of anything. So it's machlokas, the Taz and the Eli Rabba. So the Avni Nezer discusses, what if you do netitzas beis haknesses l'tzorich mitzvah? So he says it's mutter based on the Rambam of lo sasin. It says only when you do it derech hashchasa, says the Rambam. And the makar of the Rambam is from our sugya. How do I know that it's only us if it's derech hashchasa? Because we said that a me'il that has dam chatos that splatters on it, you need to be mechabes in the azara. And if it goes outside of the klum and it becomes tameh there, where you're not able to bring it back in because of its tumah, and you can't tear it because it's yotz, even though tearing it would take away the tumah status, because it says lo yikareya, so what's the solution? You bring in a tiny drop at a time. Why is the Gemara only talking about the me'il? Any begit kadosh, there are also big day kuna and eight big day kohen gadol. So why picking on the me'il, that the me'il is the one that's problematic? So that's what the Avni Nezer explains, because all of the rest of the begadim you're not allowed to destroy, but it never says lo yikareya, a specific iser not to tear it. So by all of the other begadim, if you need to tear it for a tikkun, for some beneficial purpose, then you're allowed to do so, because it would just be in the broader iser of lo sasun ken l'Hashem Elokeichem. So when it comes to lo sasun ken l'Hashem Elokeichem, if there's a tikkun, if there's some reason that you need to do it, that you want to do it, so then it's going to be mutter. So that's what the Avni Nezer says is the basis for the Shitas HaRambam when it comes to a Beis HaKnesses as well, that you're not allowed to destroy Beis HaKnesses, but if there's any sort of tikkun, then you're allowed to do that. And that's why the Rambam writes someone who's kareya pi mi'il gets malkus, because it says lo yikareya. And hu adin, if he tears any other big day kahuna derech hashchasa, he gets malkus. Now the lashon on the Rambam is mashma that if you kareya the mi'il, you get malkus even when it's not derech hashchasa. And by shar big day kahuna, it's only if it is derech. And that's exactly correct. That's exactly what our sugya is saying because of this din of lo yikareya. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. So what did we say? You have the beggar that became tamei outside of the azara. You bring it back into the azara in order to do the kibbutz. V'abayi shivasam manim. But the kibbutz involves shivasam manim that the Gemara says if you find in Maseches Nida, that the Mishnah says if you find dam on a beggar, you're not sure if it's dam nida or not. So or you see red on a beggar, you're not sure if it's paint or it's dam nida, so we put these seven detergents on the stain, and once we do that, we know that it would remove dam from a beget. So if it doesn't remove it, then it's probably not dam. So we require those same shiva samanim. Dam rav nachman rabua dam chatos umarus negaim tzrich and shiva samanim. The dam chatos, the way we do kibus begadim and dam chatos, the way we do kibus of negaim on a beget is the shiva samanim v'tanya. And yet we have a brisa in Pita Maktoros that we say every single day. So Daf Yomi Kuntzanis we say today and every day. El Shein Machnisin Meiraglayim LaMikdash Mipnei HaKavod, that we don't bring Meiraglayim into the Mikdash because of Kavod. So we hear. So how do we bring it into the Azara? So says Mar Bchitem to Mevlu Badei Shivasam Manam Abedu Lekul Kachad. Maybe you'll say, no, simple Eitza. Don't bring a cup of Meiraglayim into the Azara. Chas Shalom, you never do that. Mipnei HaKavod. Take all the Shivasam Manam, mix them all together. The Shnei Raglayim will become batal and the rov of the other Sabbatim, that will be fine. But Vatanan, but the Mishnah says Maseches Nida, Havir and Shlo Kesidra, and if you use these seven detergents out of order, O Shavir Shavas and Kachar, or use them all at the same time, loss of Lo Klum, it does not accomplish anything. There's a specific order that you need to apply these Shiva Sabbatim. So, V'chi Tema, Temuvlu Badi Chad Misabbatim, maybe you can mix the Meir Raglayim with one of the other Sabbatim, maybe not all seven, but Sarach Lechaske Shalosh Pam B'chol Echad V'achad Tanan. No, the Mishnah says you need to take each one individually and wash with each one individually three times. El demavlu barok tafel. So the way you handle the Meir Raglayim is you mix it with raw saliva. And when you mix it with raw saliva, it takes away the Meir Raglayim status of it. And that's okay. Dam Reish Lakish, rok tafel tzorek sheyem kol echad v'achad. All of the samanim are supposed to be mixed with rok tafel, and therefore that solves that problem. New Mishnah. Echad shebishal bo, ve'echad shiru l'tocha rotech. Whether you have a kli that you cooked the carbon in, or whether you have a kli that you poured a hot dish into the, meaning the carbon was cooked in another kli, and then you just poured it into this kli, it's going to require mariko shtifa. Echad kachi kachim, echad kachim kalim, and regardless of whether the meat that you cooked was meat of a chatos or a nasham, or meat of kachim kalim, like a todo or a shlabim, tu'un in mariko shtifa, the mariko shtifa, the kashering of the kli, is going to be required. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kachim kalim ain't Mariku Shtifa. The Kachim Kalim do not require Mariku Shtifa according to Rabbi Shimon. So says Martan Rabban, we have a Brisa, Asher Tevu Shalbo, Ein Li'el Shabi Shalbo. I would only know that if you're Mevashel L'chatos in it, but Iro L'tocha Roteich Minayin, how do I know that if you pour hot into the Kli Cheres, that it's still going to require Shvira? Tamalomer Asher Bo Yishaver. That whatever ends up in it, even if you didn't cook in it, it's still going to require the shvira that a kli charis typically requires. So, by Rami Bar Chama, tala'u ba'avir tanur, let's say you take a spit with meat of a chatos on it, and you put it inside of the airspace of a tanur, so nothing gets absorbed in the walls of the tanur. Mahu, do you need to break the kli or not? Abishul bilua dukavad rachmana, odilma abishul b'lo bilua. So we hear you were mevasha l'chatos in that tanur, but so the tanur is kli charis, you mevashel a chatos in that tanur, but there are no blios. So do we say that only when there's both bishel and blia, you have a din of shvira, or is the din of shvira when you have either or? So Amarav, Tashma, I'll bring you a raya. Our Mishnah said, Echad Shabishal Bov, Echad Shiru L'Tocho Rotech, whether you actually cooked in it, or whether you only poured something in it, so it's still going to require Mariku Shtifa. So don't you see that if that Belia without Bishal, by pouring into it, there's a Belia without a Bishal, so is enough to require Mariku Shtifa, and therefore by Klicharis would be enough to require Shvira. Belua below Bishal, lo kami bailan. So says Gemara, I wasn't asking if a Belia alone should require Mariku Shtifa, or Shvira. Kikam Balan, Bishul below Bilua. I was asking if you do Bishul without Bilua, not if you have a Bliya without Bishul. So Tashima says, well, I'll bring another Raya. Tamrav Nachram Rabarvua, Tanur Shal Mikdash Shal Mateches Haya. The Tanur in the Beis HaMikdash was made out of metal. And the Gemara is assuming not out of Cheres, because then it would require Shvira every time you cooked any Chatos in it. But Vistal Kadak Bishul below Bilua lo Kapid. But if we assume that cooking alone, if it's not, doesn't create any Blios, is not a problem. Nevet shel cheres. So why not make the tanur of the Beis HaMikdash out of cheres? So kiven dika shiari minachas taf yasin betanur v'ika bishul li bilua avdin shel mateches. Now they had to make it out of mateches because not every carbon can be cooked in a way where there's bishul without blios. The shirayim of a carbon mincha required both bishul and blia. So they needed something that's kasherable. So you don't want to keep breaking the kli cheres. Hu tanur, there was an oven that they smeared it with fleshiga fat. So I saw Rabbi Eloi l'michlo rifta. Rabbi Eloi said, you're not allowed to eat the bread that was baked in that oven li'olam, ever. V'afilu b'milcha, even just with para foods, dilma asi l'michlo b'kutcha, because once you made a fleshiga bread, I'm afraid that you're going to come to eat it with milchig, you'll smear cream cheese on it. So you're not allowed to have a fleshiga bread. Fleshiga bread is treif. So meisvei, ein lashon asi isa b'chalav, But didn't we learn that you're not allowed to knead a dough with milk? And that will make the bread not kosher. Because you'll come to eat a salami sandwich on such a bread. And we similarly say that you're not allowed to line the oven, smear the oven with some fat of an animal. And if you do, then the whole thing is going to be aser. But that's only aser until you fire up the tanner again. Because once you fire up the tanner again, it will kasher it. So says Mar Tiyufta to Rab Bar Eloi. Tiyufta. That's a Tiyufta to Rab Bar Eloi. Because Rab Bar Eloi said that if you smeared fat animal fat, the tanner is aser forever. Apparently it's not aser forever. So ask Gemara, Amli Ravina Ravashi, Vichmiachrit Yitosav Rab Bar Eloi. Once the Gemara rejects Rab Bar Eloi, and we see that you can kasher a tanner just by firing it up. Amai Amar Rav, why did Rav say in Hilchas Pesach, the Kederos, that if you have pots that you cook chametz in the whole year, but Pesach Yishaveru, you need to break those pots. There's no way of being misak in them. There's no way of kashering them. See, he doesn't hold of nothing tam of kam. So Amalei, Rav Mokil Alihi Bishal Mateches. Rav is going to say that when the tanur, when we say you can kasher a tanur, it's only a metal tanur. When he said you have to break the pots, the non-Pesach Tikka pots, he was talking about Klei Cheres. Or he might have been even saying that it's a tanur shel cheres, but a tanur that you fire up from the inside of the tanur versus a pot that you fire from the outside of it. So firing up from the outside, heating it up from the outside doesn't kasher it. Heating from the inside kashers it. So ask Mar, okay, so v'nevad asakam yubifnim. So kasher your kalim by putting coals inside of it. Chayes alay dimitabri. We don't think you're going to do that because you're going to be afraid it's going to break. Therefore, anything that's a sekumi b'chutz is not going to work to kasher it. So this kuvya, type of tile that they would use to fry things on, is a sekumi b'chutz, and therefore there is no way to it doesn't get kashered by using it. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the top of Tzadivav Amud Aleph. Have a great day.